My name's Sam. I'm an alcoholic. I'll be one of those who won't be buying one of these tapes. But I was driving over here and I was thinking about, well, and I try not to, but I was thinking about what to talk about, and I was thinking, you know, the nice thing is it's not like when I used to be driving home at night or getting up in the morning and going to a meeting, usually late and usually confused and trying to think up my excuses, trying to figure out what I'm going to say and how I'm going to skate out of this deal, you know, or get out of this situation. And I was always in a situation when I was drinking. But I'll keep it short, don't worry. And just going to follow that format. I'm going to tell you what it was like and what happened and what it's like now, best I can figure. I started drinking when I was in high school, like a lot of people did, and I think there are all kinds of alcoholics, and I don't think there are some similarities, but there are a lot of differences. But I just sort of gradually sank into alcoholism. I drank alcoholically, I think, in the early drinking, drinking to the point where I didn't know where I was or who I was, but I found that point where it clicked early on, and I looked for that in my drinking. I wanted to get that buzz and get that level, you know, get to that level where everything was just fine and all my fears and all my problems and all my worries were gone. I mean, I was, you know, I was just on top of the world and could talk to anybody about anything. I was much smarter when I was drinking too. And but I just sort of worked my way into it, you know, just an average high school kid drinking a little beer now and then. Then when I got to college, I really turned it up. I got into serious drinking when I was in college. I didn't know what I didn't know, and I didn't know how to get out of it. I knew that what I was doing was not what I had planned to do in college, but I was stuck in a pattern, and that pattern made me start thinking about where I'm going to drink that afternoon, where I'm going to drink that weekend, what I'm going to drink. Getting my supply was very important. Figuring out my drinking was as important as anything during my college years. And then I did feel a little guilt during that time. I did work and made some money. Lived in a hotel in Athens that had a beer machine in the lobby. And I thought, man, this is uptown. You know, it's just like a Coke machine, but it had beer in it. And but then when I finally got out of school, I did the 10-year plan. And actually, I went in the military for a few years and then went back and finished. But in the military, I got to some serious drinking. Went to Germany, you know, it's Mecca for those who like to drink a lot. And so I skated there. I mean, I almost got in trouble a lot of times. Almost just managed to skate by. Managed to miss meetings I needed to be in. But I managed to get by. And I guess I didn't know how to live. I early on, you know, by the time I was 23, 24, I didn't know how to live without drinking. I mean, I just could not face a day without the thought of a little relief. And so I managed to get out of the Army and managed to get back and get a degree finally, and got a job. Drank a lot, had a lot of important meetings in the afternoon trying to develop business and bars, and I still there was a social aspect to it, an acceptable aspect. And I did like everybody, I think, who's a drinker. I surrounded myself with drinkers. I didn't hang out with non-drinkers. That just was not part of my program. It just got progressively worse. It just, you know, and I went through a marriage, and then she had a son, and she packed up, and I think her priorities changed when we had a child, and she packed up and moved back to Chicago. And if there was ever a time that I was justified in doing some serious drinking, of course, that was it. And that's the way I handled that. And no amount of talk or counseling or friends suggesting was going to change my style. I deserved to be a heavy drinker at that point. And got involved in other situations lived with somebody a while, and one of my favorite things was I was a real bar drinker, as well as a drink alone drinker and a drink at home, and you know, drink on the way to bars and drink on the way home. But I'd get this deal where I'd get in a pattern of going to the bars every night to develop business, my significant other would call and say, "I thought you were coming home, you know." And I ran into so and so and this and that. And then I'd call back and say, "I'll be there in an hour." And then I'd call back at 9 and say, "You know, I'm tied up, but I'm on my way. You know, keep dinner warm, you know." And then about 11:30 or so, I one of my favorite things was to call up and say, "Foam the runway, I'm bringing it in," you know. So she never thought that was funny. She did not have a sense of humor. But that was my drinking style, and I thought it was okay. I thought people should understand that. I thought people who didn't were sort of lifeless and flatliners, and I was fairly desperate along. Let's see, I got married and divorced again sometime along in there, and that was a disaster. But I think that drinking had something to do with it in retrospect. And but I just got to the point, and I'd ask myself, I'd say, how can this amount of alcohol consumption not be doing serious damage to my body? It was phenomenal to me that I got to that point where, you know, when you first were drinking one drink and you wanted to throw up, well, but you get to that point, or some of us do, where you drink it straight, you know, out of a glass, ice or no ice, didn't matter. And I went in the hospital and just not feeling good. And the doctor kept poking around. He said, "Whoa, that liver's way out here," you know. And he said, most of you probably have used these lines. But, he said, are you a heavy drinker? And I said, "Well, I drink socially." And I'll have a drink or two, yeah, every day. And I was drinking a lot along that period, but it was chaos, and I hated it. I hated myself. I hated doing what I was doing, ruining relationships, ruining my son's childhood, causing chaos and pain, you know, wherever I went, spreading that trail of tears wherever I would appear. And but I couldn't get out of it. I could not figure. And I thought a lot. And I never tried to stop drinking, but I tried to control my drinking. I tried to, all right, tonight I'm not going to drink. And not drinking meant limiting myself to 3 beers. I figured that's not drinking. But I get to that third one and I'd say, what the hell, I'm having fun. Here I go again. And you know, chaos and confusion. But I got to that point where I sometimes would have two beers and I'd be so confused. You know, something wasn't working. I got to that point where my brain and body just wouldn't process it anymore, and I knew it was bad, but I didn't know what to do. I didn't, like I heard somebody say, I was down to my last woe is me. I felt pitiful, and I was pitiful. And I'll tell you what happened, because I think it's interesting how God, you know, helps those who can't help themselves. And I was so paranoid, I just could hardly get up and couldn't face the world. And I'm in sales, you know, and that's tough. You know, I had that. First of all, I had that deal where I'd nurse that hangover till about noon, and get up and turn that hot shower on, get way in the back and try to sweat it out for a while, and then try to go for a little walk. That would be about a half a block for me, and then about one, I'd try to eat a little something and go to work, and then by three, I was thinking about where to go drink. So it was a small window of opportunity there, as far as my business. But anyway, I was down. I mean, people. I mean, you know, we all. I've heard these stories, but people really didn't too much like to be around me, and so I had signed up to go on a hike. you know, I was worried about that part, but I said, I've got to do something, because if I don't, I'm afraid I'm just going to, you know, inward disappear. You know, I was going to go poof and be nothing left, and so I forced myself to get up and go on this hike, and it was one of these ski club hikes and going up in the mountains, and that's very allegorically spiritual, you know, kind of you go into the mountain to get the message, you know, whatever. But I tell you what, I rode up there with somebody who was absolutely crazy. You know, we got there and met, and you think I've spent a lot of time on this little part, but it's very interesting. And they all had people they were riding with, and I'm standing there, and they say, well, let's see, we don't have any more room in our car. And I thought, yeah, well, that's it, you know. They all know each other, they're all friends, and I'm by myself, you know. So this lady came driving up, and he said, you can ride with her, you know. And so we did ride up there, and I'm not so sure she was as crazy as I thought she was at the time, but we missed Cloudland Canyon and went to Chattanooga and had to circle back, and we got there and everybody had already gone on the hike, and we're walking along there, and I'm thinking, you know, I could roll off the side of this mountain and nobody would ever know, and, you know, they could just put a rock on me and leave me. And then the woman I was with started hyperventilating. I mean, it was a mess. And we finally found this group, and she went zipping to the other side of the group. And so I was there with this group of strangers, and I said, what am I doing here? Well, we kept walking, and it was a nice day. And this one person asked me if, you know, just started talking to me. And then I figured out I had taken some water. And she was trying to weasel her way into drinking some of my water, which she did. Anyway, well, we hit it off and talked a little bit and came back to Atlanta and went out to dinner. And I was telling her about some of my problems, which I was, you know, prone to do. And I said, you know, I think perhaps drinking is part of my problem. Maybe I drink too much. And I thought it was very nice. I didn't drink anything, and she didn't drink anything. And I thought that was very nice of her to, you know, because I knew if she had a drink, I would have a drink, you know. But anyway, we talked a little bit more and had a nice evening, and she was getting in her car to leave, and she said, "You know, I don't know if I should even tell you this, but you know, Wednesday night I'm celebrating my 5th year in AA, in Alcoholics Anonymous." And that was that light bulb, you know, that was that I said, "Whoa, maybe that's what I need to do." And I said, "I'll go with you Wednesday night." And she said, "I don't think you will." she had some good sobriety. And she said, "Let me have my cousin, this guy, call you and take you to a meeting." And she did. And I went to my first meeting. In fact, he couldn't go till whatever night, Thursday night, I think it was. And I went Wednesday because I was very compulsive and was going to get right into it. And I went to my first meeting at, am I running past this already? Went to my first meeting out there at 8111, and boy, that was a pitiful group. I mean, all of them had so many problems, and I had the only suit on, and I felt good. And they kept talking to this guy behind me. And I thought, well, I hope he listens because he's got some problems. I put $20 in the basket to help him out. I went out to my car. I got in my car and I thought, well, that was pretty good. I got in my car and I started crying. You know, strangest thing. And I thought, I thought, what a relief. I had heard enough to know that there was a solution. And, so I started going to lots of AA meetings, and it was pretty confusing. And I'd get up in the morning heading for a meeting, and then I'd say, "I got too much work to do," and I'd turn around halfway there and start going back home to do some work. Then I'd get about two blocks and I'd turn back around and go to the meeting. You know, a lot of that. And I went two or three meetings a day lots of times. But I just knew that, I mean, it just took all of that to keep from going back out drinking. My first sponsor, after 4 or 5 days or whatever, he said, "What you doing after the 5:45 meeting, that famous meeting out there?" And I said, "I'm going to go by and see some of my friends at a bar where I used to go drink. I don't drink anymore, but I'm going to go by there." And he said, "Why don't I go with you?" And I thought for a year or two that he just wanted to meet my friends, you know. I didn't know that he maybe thought he could help keep me sober that night, which he did. But I don't know, I that was in 88, and I haven't been back out drinking. I've been crazy lots of times. There seems like so often I hear people talk about, well, you know, I've got 5 years, and up until I had 4 years and 10 months, I was crazy, but now I've got all the answers, you know. Or when you got 10 years, you say, for 9 years I was a mess, but now I've got it all together. Well, I tell you, you know, I have never had it all together. In fact, I said, I may be, you know, living proof that half measures do avail you something. But you know what? It's not I haven't done it anywhere near like you ought to do it, but some of the basics of the program obviously have rubbed off on me. And but today it was a struggle. I got into a little rage about something, and then I hit a point where I had not done something I should have done, and it was just nobody's fault. And it took me a while to figure out that most everything that goes wrong in my life is because of something I did or didn't do. And sometimes that's not the case, but it's almost never anybody else's fault. But I felt myself get into that feeling of where I got kind of flushed in the face, and I thought, what a bunch of chaos, what a bunch of confusion, and here I am, you know, trying to do things right, and still my life is such a mess. But you know what? I think everybody's life is a mess on some days. You know, it's just the way it is. I get so tickled when I hear people in AA talk about those earth people who don't have a clue about how to live. Well, I mean, you know, they almost always have a clue, and they may not know all the cliches, but they just get up every morning and do the right thing. And so it's, for me, I don't think I'd be living if it hadn't been for AA and getting sober. I mean, no way. I was heading down that spiraling down road, and it was terrible. It was a place that I do not want to go back to. And I go to meetings. I don't go to as many as I used to. But I enjoy going to meetings, and I enjoy the friendships I make in AA, AA led me back to going to church. I mean, I'm not recommending church, but for me, it's an important part of my life. And what AA did was it let me not be so judgmental. It let me figure out that I don't have to pick out the one person who doesn't do right in church as the example of why I don't want to be in church. I can just go and get what I get out of it and enjoy that aspect of it. It let me join life again, be a part of, not have to be there and go to whatever occasion and try to be the center of attention, but just be part of it. And that for me is a wonderful place to be. I don't have any sage advice for sure. I just think it's like my sponsor told me, and like I've told other people. If you just don't drink and go to meetings, it seems to get better. But that don't drink and go to meetings, you know, if you never stop drinking and go to meetings, it's very confusing, I think. And if you don't drink but don't go to meetings, it's equally as confusing. But you can't give yourself that opportunity to get the to hear, or I at least didn't. I needed to stay sober or just not drink, get the alcohol out, just to give myself that chance to hear the message. And it's a wonderful message, and I absolutely enjoy it. And I want to say one thing. It does get easier. I for me, it's a lot easier being sober and living life sober than it was when I first got sober. I don't go, and I remember the first cocktail party I went to after I stopped drinking, and man, I didn't realize till later, but I got over and made friends with the bartender right away. I was just drinking soda, but I wanted that bartender to know I was special. I wanted him to know we had a connection, you know, just like I did when I was drinking. But, you know, I go to a function now, and the first thing, I don't have to figure out how to get my supply. It's a really wonderful life, and I appreciate the opportunity to come over here, and I appreciate the chance to enjoy celebrating birthdays, because I think they're very special. And I think it's also very special that if somebody is sober their first day or first week or first 10 days, I mean, I'm telling you, that's a struggle. And I hope that you guys have the chance to enjoy sobriety like I have. I mean, I'm grateful to God to be here. Thanks.